Well, thank you so much for your words of welcome. It is a joy to be amongst God's people. It is always a privilege to bring God's word as well. And I trust that the word that has been preached will have an impact on our lives in such a way it will be lasting for the rest of our lives. May the Lord bless even tonight's ministry. Let us turn to our first hymn number 37. 37, on the subject of the Lord's Day. Come, let us with our Lord arise, our Lord who made both earth and skies, who died to save the world he made, and rose triumphant from the dead. He rose the Prince of life and peace, and stamped the day forever his.
Oh,
Amen. Let us bow together in prayer. Our eternal Father, we bow before Thee this evening in Thy presence, praising Thee, thanking Thee, worshipping Thee, for Thou art worthy, O God. Thou hast blessed us with eternal blessings in Jesus Christ, Thy Son. Thou hast sent Him, the gift of gifts, to us, Thine only begotten Son. We give Thee thanks, O Lord, that He was willing to come, willing to live and die for us. We praise Thee, O Lord, for the salvation that He has brought. He has rescued our souls, for which we are thankful. Lord, we give Thee thanks that He has bought us by His own precious blood, the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for us, paid for all that we owed to our God. And Lord, we thank Thee that that blood and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it has been applied to us, and we have come to know Him, whom our soul delights in. In Him we rejoice, in Him we live, and He lives in us. For we have been made as those branches that have been engrafted in into Jesus Christ. And we remain in Him because He keeps us. O gracious God, we thank Thee that Thou hast kept us to this hour. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy word which has been left to us, and that Thy church has become the custodian of Thy word. We give Thee thanks, O God, that Thy word is preached and has been preached throughout centuries. And Lord, on that final day there shall appear before Thee many, innumerable, from every tongue and nation. For they have heard Thy word, and they listened to the call of the Lord, and came to Him. Lord, we pray for this town of Biddeford. O gracious God, have mercy upon it. For the people, they do their own thing. Even as we have come here, we saw many, many who go their own ways. They seek their own pleasure and do their own thing. They have no thought of God. Lord, what is the difference between them and animals who have no thought of themselves? But, O Lord, Thou hast given us a soul that never dies. Thou hast given man a soul that is spiritual. And, O gracious God, we pray for them. We were once without God and without hope in this world. We were once carried about by Satan, and we did his bidding. But that is come and broke into our lives and saved our souls. We pray the same for them, O God. We are what we are by the grace of God. And Lord, we are ever thankful for that. O gracious Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst bless this congregation. We pray that for those who have to go back to their individual churches, we pray that for each faithful congregation, Thou wouldst bless. We pray especially for our brother, Canis Clark, and we ask Thee that Thou wouldst bless that work in the south of Ireland. Oh Lord, what a land it is. How dreadful the case is. So few who believe. And those who do believe are in such a confusion and confused state. Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst bless our brother. And also, O Lord, other churches that are represented here. We pray, O God, that Thou wouldst by Thy grace keep us faithful. Bless us now, forgive us our sins, cleanse us afresh, and O Lord, we pray that we might take heed to thy word, help us to take it in. And if the Lord speaks to us, we pray that we may be doers of the word rather than the hearers. Bless us and help us now, for we pray these things through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let us turn to the Word of God. This time I want to bring your attention to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Now let us read the first 14 verses of Matthew 12. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was anhungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless. Let us now sing once more to the Lord by turning to hymn number 347, 347. This wonderful hymn, I love thy kingdom, Lord. The house of thine abode, the church, our blessed Redeemer saved with his own precious blood.
I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house.
Let us bow together in prayer. Let us seek the Lord before we come to the Word of God. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee as we come to the most solemn part of the service tonight, the preaching of the Word. Lord, the preacher needs Thee, and the hearers need Thee too. Cause us, O God, hear the Word of God. And Lord, may we go out and live unto Jesus Christ, who has bought us, who was not simply the giver of the Word, but He Himself was the doer of the Word. And because of that, He was persecuted even unto death, and He was crucified for us. But through that, O Lord, Thou wast glorified, and we are now the benefactors of the inheritance that Christ has purchased for us. Lord, bless, we pray, and help us to magnify the Lord even as we hear the Word of God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
We tried to show you this morning the subject of the Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath, and how it is valid for the believer in our day today. And we tried to show you how that original seventh-day Sabbath has changed now to the first day of the week. I said how important that subject is. I said to you how important it is because the Scripture says it, and how vital it is to our own well-being as a believer and as a church. But also it is important, for this subject is so under attack in our day. Not from outside, but from within. Many Christians are now saying to us, those old heresies of the past, that the law is no longer valid for the believer. That the Ten Commandments have now been done away with Christ. But the Apostle clearly says it in his writings, that we do not do away with the law, but we establish the law. And that the law is life. And for those who have received the life of Jesus Christ, now the law makes sense. Now we delight to do His law. And we meditate upon His law. And it makes sense now. We see it through the eyes of Christ. Now, this evening, we want to deal with the practical teaching of the Bible about keeping the Sabbath holy, and warn against the desecration of the Lord's Day. So it will be most practical. And we are not ashamed at all, and we do not apologize about some of the details that we will be dealing with. And for it is so needful today. There were certain things that the ministers of the gospel did not have to say years ago, because the believers were so ready to do them, and it was a common law amongst believers. But now we have come to such a state in the spirituality of the church that we have to spell out sometimes certain truths and apply the word and show that we ought to live a consistent life, not only from the lip, but in our daily walk before the Lord. So I would ask you to think seriously about these things, and consistently apply them to your own life. The Lord's Day by itself will not produce holiness. It must be actively kept. We must do something about it, or it will be of no benefit or blessing to any of us. We can say we believe it, but we must be active in our belief as well. Remember that already God has set the day apart from the practice of the New Testament church as we have it in the record of the scriptures. They met on the first day of the week, which was the Christian Sabbath. By that I mean the Christian day of rest. It was the Lord's day. They met together for various things, specifically for spiritual worship, spiritual communion, fellowship, encouragement. The Christians spent it for the worship of God, as he had appointed, celebrating the Lord's Supper, the preaching of the word. Even they rejoiced in it to such an extent that they were happy. The Apostle Paul preached till midnight on one occasion. And also they served the Lord by their sacrificial giving for the needy Christians and the cause of the gospel. We saw some of these things earlier on today as we thought about the fourth commandment: remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. The examples that we have in the Word of God and in the New Testament, they are written so that we might also follow them. They are written for our learning. And so the Lord again says to you tonight, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There are two ways to describe this keeping holy. One is that there is a holy rest, and secondly, there is a holy exercise. There are two ways to it. There's a negative way and there is a positive way. Let us deal with the first of all with this issue of a holy rest. To keep the Sabbath, it ought to be kept as a day of holy rest. That is the basic meaning of the Sabbath in the original. Sabbath simply means rest. Rest. Well, let me explain what are some of the things that we are talking about when we talk about rest. First of all, there is a rest from our worldly employments. From our worldly employments. That is what it's meant in that portion in Exodus 20. You see that? Remember the Sabbath day in verse 8 of Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then explains a little further. It says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the Lord says that I've given you 6 days to work, to labor for your daily needs and your daily bread, for your secular employments, for your studies. You work 6 days. And 6 days is enough. But this day, my Sabbath is to be kept free. That's all I'm asking you. 1 day in seven. In it, thou shalt not do any work, the scripture says. In a previous chapter, in chapter 16 of Exodus, we are told that God commanded Israel to take enough manna on the day before the Sabbath, which would last them for 2 days. So the Lord says, on the eve of Sabbath, you take enough to last you for 2 days. And it will not rot, it will not have worms in it. And the Lord instructed in verse 29, it said, abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place. So don't go out looking for food. Don't go out working for bread. And my friends, I would say to you that if they were not allowed to go to find their food on the Sabbath, how much less any other thing which can be done on other days. And it's a blessing. We are free, you see, from going to places which could be done on the other days. So on the Sabbath, you can rest from your daily labors. That's a wonderful thing. So that's one of the teachings of this rest, this day of rest. Then secondly, there is a rest from worldly recreations, from worldly entertainments, even though they are fine for other occasions, for other days. So they're not ungodly recreations, ungodly entertainments. But the Lord says rest from that. The Lord's day is not a day for personal pleasure. It's not a day for personal entertainment of any sort. Any sort. It is a day to delight and enjoy eternal things, heavenly things. It is for our spirit rather than to please the flesh. The Sabbath in itself should be our delight. Being free. God has given you that day to be free to enjoy spiritual nourishment. That should be your joy. And not entertainment that you can have on other days. Isn't this what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 57, verses 13 and 14? Isaiah 58, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Do you see the oath here? It says, the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So many Christians lament the fact that I need to be a more spiritual man. I need to be, I don't know my Bible well enough. I don't read enough. I feel I'm lacking in spiritual power and strength and in spiritual wisdom. I am lacking it. I fear for that person they are not spending the Sabbath in the way the Lord has said. Because he has promised it that if we keep the Sabbath a delight, that we rejoice in it, and we actually keep it, actively are involved in taking nourishment from the Word and from our own personal devotion. He says, then it is that I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. This ought to be taken spiritually. And feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father. The reason that we feel malnourished is because of not keeping this day as we ought to. So think about it. What does your tongue do on the Sabbath day? What do your ears do on the Sabbath day? What do your eyes do on the Sabbath day? What do your hands do on the Sabbath day? Are we saying things that have no bearing on our souls and our spiritual needs or the spiritual needs of others? Are we doing things that could be done on another day, or we are going to places or we are going on holiday that we could do and go on other days, or we are planning and thinking on issues which is to be done during the week. There are few questions that we ought to ask ourselves, because there are only two things allowed to be done by way of working or labor. First of all, it is this thing that we have to ask ourselves, is this thing that I am doing, is it necessary? Is it necessary to be done on the Lord's Day? Is it so vital that it has to be done on the Lord's Day? Can it not be done in some other day? Am I pretending that this issue is so urgent, so necessary? Couldn't it have been done on some other day before? What is of necessity? Necessity, we could say, getting ready, being refreshed for the day, going to the place of worship, and eating. But possibly I've put eating last, because we don't actually, for one day, I think if we don't eat, we won't die in usual cases. And there are Christians who would break the Sabbath because they have nothing in the home, or they haven't done the shopping for the Lord's Day, and they would say, well, I should now go on and do shopping. I don't have any food to eat. Well, actually, food for one day is not a big issue. There are many believers who don't have much to eat throughout the world. But I remember when I was a student and there was exam time, I would make excuses. And we are quite good at making excuses. Our exam was on Monday, or the deadline was on the Monday. And I was tempted to make excuse that it is a busy time, it is an exceptional time, that if I do not revise on the Lord's Day, then God will not be glorified on Monday. But then I learned, 6 days shalt thou work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest, as it says in Exodus 34, verse 21. In earning time and in the earing time and in harvest, thou shalt rest. There in Exodus 34 and verse 21, the Lord was talking to farmers. The most busy time in the year for a farmer is the harvest time. But the Lord says, you must not violate the Sabbath. It is going to be a blessing for you if you rest from your labors. However busy you may be, it will be a blessing for you. Saying that, there are some things that become a necessity because of our lack of thought. For example, just a practical thing, getting our cars ready, putting petrol in the car for the journey to the chapel. And my friends, we ought to think about these things. These are all the parts of preparation for the Sabbath and the keeping of the Sabbath and delighting in the Sabbath. We don't want anything to come between us and the Lord on that day. We don't want to be involved in something that will stop us from enjoying God and glorifying Him. In our society, there is no concept of the Sabbath, sadly, and so it produces problems for Christians. And here it is that we ought to stand strong. We ought to then tell our bosses, tell our employers that we will not work on the Lord's Day. That unless it is something so urgent, it is life-threatening, we will not get involved in it. Things can wait till Monday. There is obviously a different issue if you're a doctor or if you're those as a police officer or a nurse or a someone like that in a situation of emergency. That's a matter of necessity. But even in those scenarios, we ought to work with a Lord's Day mentality. Remembering this is the Lord's Day. The Lord has allowed me to do these works of necessity and works of mercy, but it is still the Lord's Day. I've already said there is the issue of necessity, the works of mercy. The Lord allows us to labor by being merciful to others. We ought to show mercy to the needy, to give, to visit the sick, to rescue some animal or some person from danger or hurt. That's what we find in Matthew 12. The Lord gives examples, the Lord heals, and so on. There are then spiritual works of service. Again, from Matthew 12 and verse 5, we read, "Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? There these men were serving the Lord." Well, you can be busy. That's a positive thing you can be doing. Busy serving the Lord in some way. You can work it out what it is in serving the Lord in a spiritual way to be a blessing to others. These men in the temple were being a blessing to other people of the land. And you be busy on that day. You have been working for 6 days about other things. On that day you can be serving the Lord spiritually. Then I said to you there was the issue of emergency, the works of emergency. In verse 11, the Lord says, "And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep?" So up to now I have, under the heading of keeping the Sabbath holy, I've been talking about the rest from our daily labors. But now the second way of keeping it holy, it involves being wholly active. Being wholly active. And wholly activities by wholly spiritual works. I've already touched on some of those things already. But first of all, under this heading, there is public activities or duties. For example, coming to worship God with God's people, that's an activity. That's a duty for God's people. That is something positive that we do. And that part of that, keeping the Sabbath holy, is for you to be actively involved in the worship of God. The worship of God does not involve simply a man coming and preaching the word and leading the worship. No, but the people are the ones who are being engaged in the worship of God and listening, making notes or noting in their minds the word of God and thinking upon it and praying over it. And they come to a place where the word of God is soundly expounded. And that is one activity that you can be involved in, as you are right now. But I would say to you, a person can come and yet not be active in that work by simply making it to be a matter of form and lifeless. They have not prepared their heart. They are there just to show their faces, and they are not listening. They are not engaging. That is not service. In Luke 4 and verse 16, it tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, he did that very thing. The Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 4 and 16, It says that he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So the Lord went to the synagogue for that day. That's how he kept the Sabbath. And it was his custom. He had done it. He was used to it. And he went to the synagogue and he stood up to read. That was part of his service to the Lord. And of course, you know how he engaged with the people and so on. There is also public prayer. That is what happened when Paul at Philippi went out of the city by the riverside where they were used to gather together for prayer. And the Lord, on that time, at that prayer meeting, he opened up Lydia's heart and Lydia was converted. That was something. Being engaged in public prayer, being involved. As prayers are offered up, your heart is also praying with the people. In Acts 20 and verse 7, they came together to commune together in the Lord's Supper. The practice was to come when there were appointed times. In some passages, they were together in the morning. In others, they were together till late at night. Whenever they were set times to meet, the people would go. They would gather together. They would come to break bread and to take part in the drinking of the wine, marking again, remembering again the Lord's death till he come. I have to say, it always was a sad occasion when, from my own experience in Northern Ireland, that when the Lord's Supper was to be done, so many Christians would leave. Professing believers would leave and not take part. Church members would not take part. And I could never understand. It is part of our duty to be prepared in a right state before the Lord to come and take part in these things. It is sad that the Apostle Paul also has to say to some in the early church and also to us in this age, in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Who could imagine? These people who have been bought by precious blood, these people who have come to know Jesus Christ, they've been given his life. Now they stop meeting together. They have got into some kind of a habit of not coming together. What has happened? What has happened that the apostle has to warn them? He says, some of you are forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. What has happened to you? Coming for public worship is a privilege of all Christians. And what a sad thing it is that for some people, they are so irregular in their attendance and they think it is an option. They show little interest in the public worship of God and to also take part in fellowship with their brothers and sisters in the gospel. My friends, the Lord's Day has been set aside so that you can do that. You may not be able to do that in other times of the week. You may be engaged in such a way and you have responsibilities that you can't do that. But the Lord's Day has been given to you. You take it and rejoice in it. The Lord has given you. He's been so gracious to you. He could say, no, I don't want you to have any day. But now he has said, no, you can have one. One day. How wonderful it is. And then I would say, secondly, there are private activities. Yes, there are public duties, but also private activities that we ought to be engaged in. This is part of us keeping the Sabbath holy. And by that I mean our own personal devotions, our own personal worship by ourselves and also in our families, in our own homes. In Leviticus 23 and verse 3, it says these interesting words. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. In all your dwellings, it is the Sabbath of the Lord. Wherever you live, there is the Sabbath of the Lord as well. Not just in the temple, not just in the synagogues. Or then it was the tabernacle. But in all your dwelling places, wherever you are, there also keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath is to be kept in our own homes. I ask you this, do you personally take time to be active spiritually by reading and by praying and by meditating upon the Word and taking these things in? I would again urge you, husbands, fathers, do you take the opportunity to bring the family together? To maybe you are so engaged in other things throughout the week that it is impossible. Sometimes that is true. It is impossible to spend so much time around the world. But the Sabbath has been given to you to do your duty as the king, as the prophet, as the priest of your home, for your wife and your children to see these things. And again, I said, it doesn't matter if you do not have children or if the children have gone home, gone from your home, still we have our responsibility to prepare ourselves and to have that spiritual influence and leading in the home. I usually ask, when I visit our congregation, I always ask the fathers or husbands, how do they lead the home? And one of the things I would ask about, how do they lead on the Sabbath day? And our folk now know it, that they have to have an answer. They will have to blush. It is part of our privilege. You see, you don't have this privilege when you die. Or you don't have this privilege when you become so frail that you're unable to attend to these things. I was going to say as well, when our public duties of gathering together, how many saints of God are laid aside and are unable to come here today? So it is only temporary. What the Lord requires you is only for a limited time. And he says, use it, be blessed by it while you have the strength that I give you. These things ought to be done. You have been set free by God. What a privilege that is. The Lord has set you free to receive this in your own families as a blessing. If you need to be refreshed, then take some appropriate time to sleep in the afternoon, to be awake in God's house. That is very legitimate and good. But don't take all of the day. Don't take all of the afternoon. Rest enough, but use the rest of the day for spiritual activities, both at home and with God's people. You know that the earthly Sabbath is the beginning of the heavenly Sabbath. For the scripture says that there remains a Sabbath for the people of God. It is going to be Sabbath every day. If there is no actually every day, it is always a day in heaven. There is no night there. So there will just one eternal day. And one eternal day of Sabbath and rest in heaven. There is a rest without a rest. In it our souls are to be most busy. Our souls will be most active. Serving God without becoming tired, without needing to have rest. But we rest from this world forever. What a wonderful provision heaven is. Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. And he prepares it in such a way it will last forever. and ever. Remember, too, that we are not like animals who have nothing else to do on the Sabbath other than laying on the ground and go to sleep. We are not like animals. So we ought to take our rest, but do not miss the blessing. Get your heart full with the knowledge and the blessing of Christ. Get prepared and do business with the Lord yourself on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is to be a benefit for us. And so let us not go any longer and feel in our own selves that we are being spiritually weakened. And our knowledge of the Word of God and our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is such that we cannot even keep up a 2 minutes conversation with people about the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have not spent enough time reading His Word and communing with Him on His day. We ought to be spiritually active and rest from all other things. Now, I want to give you, if we have the time, I want to give you 6 practical guidelines on keeping the Sabbath holy. That's what I want to do before we finish this evening. One thing I've already said, I'm simply highlighting the things that I've already said. Prepare for it. Prepare for it. Treat it as a special day. Treat it in your homes as a day of rejoicing. That this is a special day. Make some things on that day that will mark it out as the best day of the week. This also means that you ought to think about things on the Saturday or the days before. That you ought to think that on Saturday evening, you will not be so engaged in all kinds of activities that it will become so late for you to prepare for the Sabbath. That you will not be engaged in things that will, it means that you will not be able to rest so much for the Sabbath, bodily, physically. That you will be sleepy or drowsy when you didn't have to be. Then the second thing is arise on time, in good time in the morning on the Sabbath day. These, you may think these are simple things, foolish things, but I think they're vital things. These are the things, it's the little foxes, the scripture says, that spoil the vine. And it is these little things that we don't think about that needs to be now spelled out maybe from time to time from the pulpit. Rising on time on the Sabbath morning. Maybe I need to speak more to the younger. Getting up early. Early enough to avoid rushing. Allowing extra time for a quiet Bible reading, meditation and prayer. Including time for non-rushed family worship and family prayers. We ought to, you see, dress our own souls as well as our bodies when we are preparing to come to a place of worship. Don't expect to be blessed when you have not prepared your hearts, when you have not dressed your own soul. The word will be snatched if your heart has not been well dug up beforehand. The word will be faithfully cast by God's servant, but it will bounce off because you have not dressed it. You have not prepared yourself for it. That's something else you ought to do. Get up early for that as well. Thirdly, faithfully use the means of public worship. What do I mean? As you come, pray for a blessing for yourself. Be engaged in prayer as you come to the house of God. Be engaged in prayer as you sit down. Pre-engage in prayer for your families, for your wives, children, for those people around you that you're seeing them, you're talking with them, but be engaged in prayer for them as well. Pay attention to what you are doing in singing, in reading, in hearing. Then fourthly, come to the services in good time. Why do I say that? Because I'm a pastor and I see people rushing in. You come in rushing in. They're coming late. All of these things affect the way we become spiritually as well. We are distracted then. This is one means that Satan uses to distract us from receiving the Word of God and for it to be a spiritual benefit to our own souls. And see how we set an example for those around us. Those older members who are coming in rushing, they're setting an example for the younger ones and also parents to their children. And when you come, still your hearts before the Lord. Don't be just talking and being distracted right to the time of when the announcements are given. Pray or read while you sit down and encourage others to do the same. Then fifthly, plan your home time. Plan what you do at home on the Sabbath day. Set aside times and routines from early on. Set aside it. Even if you don't have any plan it for the next Sabbath. Use the time for spiritual conversation. Write down questions that you'd like to ask your family or individuals that you invite to your home. Plan that you want to have spiritual fellowship with God's people. Not gossip, not worldly conversation, not talking about the weather or the your work situation. Plan. Without planning, Sabbaths come and go without blessing. Plan to be a blessing to someone on the Sabbath day. Discuss the sermon and meditate over it. How you should be responding to it. What should I do in my life? Talk to your children about it. Catechize them. Ask them questions about the sermon. I would say as well, always be ready to give hospitality on the Sabbath day. What a blessing it is to have God's people or even the ungodly to your home on the Sabbath day and be a blessing to their soul. Reach out to various needy people on the Sabbath day. Take time to write. Write letters to those that are needy. To encourage other people, both the believers and the unbelievers. These are the things you can be planning for. And using the Sabbath then for these things that you do not have the time to do it on other days. And then finally, sixthly, do all with a holy joy. Do all with a holy joy and delight. I have tried to steer you away from a legalistic form of Sabbatarianism. It is not God glorifying to simply view the Sabbath as primarily restrictive drudgery. To see it as a list of don'ts and thou shalt nots. No, it is most positive. So the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He doesn't say, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. He begins by positive because it is a positive means. It has been made for man to be used for man. The apostle says so much about our life and where we are heading, heaven. And therefore, the apostle Paul in Hebrews 4 and 9 specifically talks about the Sabbath, and he says, there remaineth therefore a rest, a Sabbath for the people of God. There, by that implying that each Sabbath for the believer ought to be also a heaven, a taste of heaven. Each week, the Lord says to you, I want to show you what heaven is like. Come and enjoy it. Just for one day in the seven, come and enjoy it. I want you to come and delight in it. Call it a delight. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. May you enjoy every week one full day of heaven on earth while you live, and then you will enter into that rest that remains for you who believe. Amen.
Amen.
Let us now sing together hymn number 45. Hymn number 45. Worshipping the Lord. Thou glorious Son of righteousness, on this day risen to set no more, shine on us now to heal and bless with brighter beams than e'er before.
Thou glorious Son of righteousness.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.